have the privilege of being the campus pastor here. I'm so excited that you are here as well. Maybe after service, we'd love to meet with you. We'll have donuts in the back for everybody. I'll be up here. We'll have a prayer team up here as well. We would love to pray with you or just meet you and say hello if I haven't already. In college, I had the opportunity to play soccer, and 8 weeks before the season started, our coach, or before preseason started actually, our coach would send out a few things to us in preparation for day one, session one of preseason. Preseason for us, it was a full 2 weeks. The first week was four sessions a day. And so he would write down all the things that we need to be working on in a letter. It wasn't like an email back then. That's how old it was, actually a typed letter. He would send it to us and say, hey, these are the things that you need to work on to prepare us for day one, session one. In that letter, it said where you need to be, which was 6 o'clock in the morning. We needed to be at a certain location. And all you needed to do was to bring your running shoes. So everyone knew it was going to be a hard day, session one of day one. And so when we get there, immediately he says, okay, guys, and there's about 100 guys there, and we did this in different sections. We had to run what they call the Cooper test, which was to run 2 miles under 12 minutes. I know that doesn't sound pretty impressive, but back then for us old people, it was pretty impressive. So we had to run 2 miles under 12 minutes. You had the opportunity to do that. If you did not accomplish that goal, you had to do it again. If you did not accomplish the goal, sure enough, even though we started out with 100 guys, after session one of day one, 20 to 25 guys just quit. Some didn't come back. Some made it. Some definitely didn't make it at all. And after, you know, being there for a couple of years, we learned that day one, session one actually had an alternate name. All the upperclassmen called it puke day. It was that was the one day that mostly everybody puked. I did puke on that day, but I did accomplish that goal. My senior year, I asked my coach, like, why did you do things like that? I mean, is there a better way to like weed out players? There was only, you had 100 guys, we needed to weed out the 25 to 20. Isn't there a better way to do that? And his answer was twofold. He says, number one, I really enjoy watching people puke. Which is kind of sick and twisted, but also kind of fun. The second thing was, he says, you know what? A lot of people say they are passionate and excited about soccer. They're excited about being on this team. They're excited about representing their school. They want all the stuff that goes with it. But he says, it's surprising to me that a lot of people do not put in the work, even though I tell them what is coming. We are in a series called One Life, and our goal as a church is to reach Frederick for life. One life, sharing with one life about the one life who is Jesus. Being an influence in people's lives, those who do not know Jesus. And I believe that everyone in this room is passionate about Jesus, is passionate about God, or maybe you're here and you're wondering what God is all about and can he truly impact your life? And if that is the case, then God, I just want you to know, if you are here, God is passionate about you. Our church is passionate about you. This is why we are doing this series, because in this series, we've been talking about this one life, and we've been essentially asking this question: who has God entrusted you to be a spiritual influence? Another way we have put it is who is your one? And beyond just asking that particular question, there's some behind-the-scenes work that needs to happen as well. First and foremost, prayer. We need to start with prayer and asking God, who is that person, or asking God to bring that person in our lives and in our area or in our just someone to be around, you know, just asking God, say, God, man, I don't get out a lot, but can you bring someone to me? Maybe that is that prayer, but praying for that person. And we'll be asking next week that you would come with that person in mind. We have a special service next week. But along with prayer, there is training. Not only would we love for every person that is connected at Mountain View to have at least just one person. You may have two, three, but at least have one person. But we also want everyone to get trained. We want to love God well. We want to love people well and be genuine. And so on your screen right now is our training. It's basically the dates or just a range of dates, and then there's that website. We will provide up to 12, I think there's 12 different training opportunities. They only last for 2 hours. Dinner is included in that, and we want everyone to sign up to get trained. There will be some evening ones, and there will be like two Saturday morning ones. So then on evening ones, we'll provide you with dinner and then some great training. And trust me, it's only going to be 2 hours, so you just trust us on that. And then on there's two Saturday morning ones as well, where we will provide breakfast, but we want everyone to show up. And we want everyone to sign up. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to sign up with my group and have my whole group sign up. No, we want you individually signed up. You, your spouse, whomever that is. Not, hey, I'm coming with my group. We need you to sign up. We'll even provide childcare because we know that training is so, so important. It's one thing to have this initiative, but if we never equip anyone, which sometimes is very familiar with churches, like we ask you to do things, but okay, no puking. But to get really equipped in this model that we call 3D1. And the 3Ds stand for different things. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. The first D is how to develop a friendship, a genuine friendship. So people don't feel like a project, because a person is never a project to God. The second D is discovering stories. Pastor Kenny was here last week. Everybody has a story, and God redeems all stories. How to hear people, how to see people, how to hear their story, how to see them. And this week, the third D is discerning next steps. You see, six weeks ago when we started this series, we talked about the most important work that any of us can be a part of, the most important work in all the world, and that is sharing the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And which should be like the heart of everyone who calls themselves a Christ follower. And after we kicked off this series, we had a very powerful weekend, probably the most powerful weekend ever at the campus, at the church. Very unusual, very, very unique. We invited a panel of people, Nate, Michelle, Rachel, and Josh. They sat up here with me, and I interviewed them for about 45 to 50 minutes, just asking them questions. They were all folks who were non-Christian. Some were like, okay, I'm not necessarily an atheist, but I'm kind of like on the agnostic part, but I'm not really sure. And we got to have conversations with them, and you heard those. Again, probably the most impactful weekend we've ever had here. It was like one of the key moments in this series, dare I say, our entire church. We then took what the panel said, and then we began to get really practical how to have spiritual conversations. And so this week, we're going to stay with that theme of discerning, talk about discerning next steps. So if you have your Bible, we want to invite you to open up to Acts chapter 8. These verses, it's a long passage. They're not going to show up on your screen. I encourage you to bring out your Bible, or you can actually take out your phone. You can actually go to that website that Henry talked about before, mvccboundary.cc links. You could click on the link that follow along. It would actually bring up the text for you. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 26. This is a very powerful, powerful passage. I love this passage. But I'm going to dive right in. Verse 26, it says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip," just say this, Philip comes on the scene. This is not the first time we see Philip. Philip actually comes on the scene two chapters ahead. The church is blowing up. Jesus died on a cross, and he rose from the dead, and he took off, and he gave instructions to his disciples, and his disciples are getting persecuted, and instead of everyone disappearing, things are growing. Growing so much that the disciple says, we gotta appoint some leaders. And one of those leaders was this guy named Philip. And the reason that he was appointed is because these guys, there was six other guys with Philip, they love God, they, They follow Jesus, and the scripture says they were full of the Spirit and wisdom. So it says in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Verse 27, so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kanake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. This is Isaiah 53, by the way. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of descendants, for his life was taken from him from the earth? Verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is some water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The word of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This is an incredible story. And there's a few things here that I want to break down. I want to look at that will hopefully help us understand this idea about discerning next steps. Because we can see how Philip, first and most importantly, interacts with God, and secondly, with the Ethiopian man. So if you're a note taker, the first thing that we can learn from about discerning that God, verse 27 says this. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch. This is talking about Philip, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kanake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. This man was a very important man. He had a lot of prestige and in power. And some point in his life, he realizes there's an emptiness in his soul, in his heart. And as a result, he makes a 1,500-mile road trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. I said it again, 1,500 miles searching and hoping to learn more about the one true God. I don't have time to fully unpack all of that, but I'm just like, wow. This guy's like, I want to connect with God so much and so bad. I'm not even sure what he's all about, but I'm willing to travel 1,500 miles. It would have took him 30 days to get there by chariot. He had this thing called passion. Now, I love that word passion, but in Hebrew, it's a different word. It's a word chutzpah. Anybody ever heard that word chutzpah? Hey, let's practice saying that word. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Chutzpah. So when you say, you got to spit. I'm just saying. So everyone, when you say it, just cover the back of your head. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You know, just in case someone spits on you, all right? This is what this word chutzpah is like. I got this fire in me. I got this passion in me that I got to do something. This non-Jewish man, apparently a God-fearer, but he's searching because he realized there's something missing in his life. And very likely, he would have gotten to Jerusalem and he would have left frustrated because he traveled all that way, 1,500 daggone miles, and he wouldn't have been allowed to enter into the temple because he was a foreigner. He would have been denied entrance into even finding answers about God. Look what it says in verse 30. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. Not only this Ethiopian African person who's there, he knows Hebrew. So he's educated. He is wise. He has a whole bunch of money. This guy is reading the book of Isaiah. Now, he gets to Jerusalem, he's denied entrance into the temple, and he still has all this passion. It was a chutzpah. You have to have chutzpah to say chutzpah. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Chutzpah. He has so much chutzpah that even though he's denied to go to church, he goes and tries to find a Bible. He finds the book of Isaiah and he purchases it. Now, you and I, we don't really understand this, but in ancient days, the copies of the Bible were rare. The copies of Scripture was very, very rare. It was very likely that no one, even if someone had it, they probably didn't want to sell it to this Ethiopian man, but he had so much money. He's like, here's thousands upon thousands of dollars. And so he buys it and he begins to read in Hebrew. They probably didn't want to sell it to him, but he gave him so much money that he's like, okay, I got to. Verse 26, backtrack a little bit. It says this, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, it is clear and obvious that Philip is following the leading of God. Philip was there. He was there. Remember, if you go back to Acts chapter 7, he's there when his good buddy, remember there were seven of them. He's one of the seven. He was there when his good buddy Steve was killed. Steve was killed because he shared the gospel to other people. And Philip's probably heartbroken and distraught, but he's like, man, I still got to tell other people about Jesus. He had that passion too. He had that chutzpah too. So it says in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road. You know that road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kanike, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. Verse 28, and on his way, Holmes was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the spirit to it. This is where spiritual influence begins. This is where sharing your faith begins. It begins with following the leading of God. This road, a very common road, probably saw thousands upon thousands of people on that road every day. And very likely when Philip gets there, there's probably hundreds of people right there. And all of a sudden, Philip just goes, okay, I'm going to stay right here because that's what God told me to do. But because God told Philip to do something and Philip was following the leading of God, he was directed specifically to that man. And this is how sharing your faith works. It's not you just grabbing people and saying, I hope you understand Jesus, or I hope you know that Jesus loves you. I mean, that's not the right way. But letting God lead you to the right person. And if you are, make yourself, I guarantee he will lead you and guide you. I guarantee you. If you genuinely commit to prayer that God would lead you to someone who is not living in a relationship with God, and you develop a friendship with them, and you're genuine with that friendship, I guarantee that God would use you in that situation. And this is why it says in verse 30 that Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. As you spend time in God's word, as you grow closer to God, as you pray and genuinely pray for the people that you care for and you love, those who don't know Jesus, and you say, God, I'm not sure how you're going to do this, or maybe yet you may not have anyone in your life. I guarantee you that if you begin to pray, God, bring someone in my life, I guarantee you God's going to bring you someone in your life. It's guaranteed. God's going to help you out with that. We need to follow. Number one, we need to follow the leading of the Lord. Number two, it's really simple. Look, listen, and learn. This comes with hand motions, okay? So you got to practice with me, right? We're going to do this, right? It's look, right? Look, listen, and learn. All right, let's try it again because only half of you did it, okay? So try to make it really, really easy. Right, here we go. Look, listen, learn. We're not playing like Simon Says or anything like that because all y'all be out. Simon didn't say. Let's try it one more time. Look, learn, listen. And learn. I knew that was going to happen. Too many L's. I would practice it all week. Still mess it up. Here's the thing. When you are like that, God's going to give you opportunities. Verse 29. I know I'm reading the same passage over again, but I just want you to hear it. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Right? He's looking. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man read. He heard. He's listening. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explain. Are you kidding me? I mean, God, Philip is just like, okay, God, do whatever you do. I'm going to bring people in your path. I'm just asking you to do something. Interesting enough, 20 years ago, Tammy and I went on our first really big vacation. Someone was gracious enough to pay for us to go on vacation. They paid for a cruise for us. Hey, we love cruises, church. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, they paid for us to go on the cruise. We were on this cruise. They were on the cruise as well. We had a great time. It was just me and Tammy, the kids. It was just me and them. And so we're just enjoying ourselves, and we're just having a great time. And back then, you would sit in an area. You would have the designated area, this dining room that you would sit in, and you would meet other guests, right? I'm not sure if they do that now, but you would meet other guests. And so we're sitting there. Our friends, they wanted us to have our private time, which was great. And so we're sitting there, and there's some other chairs open, and we're just sitting by ourselves. And then someone else comes, and they find, oh, this is our table. And it was just the four of us, even though there was four other chairs missing. If you've never been on a cruise, you would understand that some people like the dinner, some people like the buffet. It was our first time. We were rookies. We didn't know any better. So we're sitting there, and we're having this great conversation with this other couple. And of course, my wife said right before the dinner, she said, this is going to be so great. You can finally take off your pastor's hat, right? Because I'm a pastor. You just enjoy ourselves, being on vacation, all that good stuff. And so lo and behold, these people come, and they have been, we learned that they are on their second marriage. They're on this cruise, and they're having a good time. And of course, the object or the subject of what do you do comes up. And of course, he tells me he was a carpenter. Anytime you say that, this is what happens in everybody's mind. They go back and think about how many curse words did I say in the last 30 seconds. It happens. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. It was about 12. It's all right. It was a good time. They didn't do that, anything awkward. And then I get up to go and get something to drink. He follows me, and he goes, Pastor, I said, you just call me Jermaine. He goes, Pastor, he says, we told you we were both on our second marriage. We're here on vacation to save our marriage. And I'm thinking, well, they ain't going to save it. But I didn't say that out loud. But he said, do you offer marriage counseling? And I'm like, to myself, yeah, Tammy, thank you. No joke. The next day, we meet at the bar for some marriage counseling. No joke. Just an opportunity. I don't like this. God, you are funny. But it's just being willing and open. Just being willing and open. And some of you are like, well, you know what? You're a pastor. You know, you can do this stuff. And I'm like, lucky you that you're not a pastor. Remember, we're just talking about a willingness to develop friendships with people who do not know Jesus, to discover their stories and maybe discern next steps. And I guarantee if you open yourself and you're willing, let's try it again, ready? Look, listen, learn. If you just be willing, I guarantee you God will use you. I mentioned before we had this panel, Rachel, Nichelle, and Josh. I got a message from Rachel. I'm going to read this to you. There were some other things that was personal. She was just thanking me for the great time, thanking all of you for a great time being up here. Felt really welcome, felt really loved. And then I'm not going to include some of the stuff because some of that stuff was personal. Then she said this. She said, you got me thinking. I never had a reason to have Christian beliefs, but any possibility to spend my afterlife with my dad, her dad is a Christ follower, would be worth making the effort and buying into it. She writes, ugh. Then I'm like, why not? I used to think it was just a waste of time, but what a better waste of time than putting in that work. I apologize because I'm going to say something. I'm reading this. I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I don't usually do this. I don't really cuss word. But anyway, she says, damn you, Pastor Jermaine. You may have converted me without trying to. I'll keep you posted. And then she writes this, I damn you in the nicest way possible. Discerning next steps. Discerning next steps, you need to begin where they are. The Ethiopian man was reading Isaiah 53, a passage about the Messiah. The Ethiopian, the eunuch, verse 34, asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. We have no idea how this conversation happened. We don't know what Philip says next, and I think that is a good thing. Because I think a lot of times we as Christians, we're kind of like formula people. Oh, well, he said this. Well, maybe I need to say that the exact same way, and then all of a sudden everything will be good. But we do know that Philip was willing to listen, not argue, not share their different beliefs, not go into any political conversation, just listen. Just listen and begin where they are. Number four, I'll say number four, it's tell them about Jesus, but in part of discerning your next steps, you will learn this in training. You might not tell them about Jesus like day one. Your next step might be going out for a cup of coffee. If you're in high school, you're not asking them for lunch, apparently. But God, if you're connected with God, you're hanging out with God and you're constantly praying, God's going to direct you what that next step is. But here's the thing. At some point in time, you got to tell them about Jesus. You got to. Verse 35, then Philip began that with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. When it comes to being a spiritual influence, when it comes to sharing your faith, we need to talk about Jesus. I know it's not good PC in our current culture to talk about Jesus, but that's why we need to talk about Jesus more. Okay, that was a silent amen, because I just want to kind of say this again, because I think I'm in church. I know we're not at like an amen church, but that was amen worthy. But you know what I'm saying? Hey, you can do too. That's acceptable. Because here's the thing, sometimes we think this, I'm going to serve so well, my service, my attitude of just serving is going to be so out of the park that they're just going to fall in love with Jesus, start following Jesus. Scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard from the word of God. It's not about religion, it's not about the church, it's not about right or wrong or your political position, it's about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to tell people about Jesus. And you may not be as skilled as Philip or as Pastor Guy or whomever, but all you need to do, even though you don't know all the answers, like why do bad things happen, or what about the people in the jungle that never heard about God? You may not have the answer to all those, but the answer you do have is your story about how Jesus changed your life. Amen. That's all it takes. Sharing your story with them. You may not have all the answers, but you do know that God says that we are to go into the world, make disciples of all nations. We are charged with taking the message of Christ, and God has changed and transformed your life. Number five, and I'll end with this. I'll invite the worship team to come on up. We need to leave the decision. As much as that, your heart's like, I just want to shake this person to Jesus, right? You can't force anyone to follow Jesus. You can't. Again, we're not told what Philip says, but we do know that Philip does talk about the good news of Jesus. Spiritual influence. Sharing your faith, whatever you want to call it, evangelism, is not selling something. It's sharing something that has been impacted your life so much, I got to tell somebody. I got to share with them the good news of what Jesus has done in my life. I've got to be willing to follow the lead of Jesus. I've got to listen, I've got to learn, I've got to start that conversation right where they're at, and I've got to tell them about Jesus, and then I've got to kind of release it and kind of leave it to them. And God's going to work. I could tell you countless stories after stories of how people prayed and prayed. I remember my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. DeJanest. I remember her, and we would pray after every Sunday school class for her husband, Quinn, that he would accept Jesus. And every year we would go to her house, and we would have this kind of like a youth group thing. And immediately when we get there, he was like, I don't want to be here, partly because of Jesus, but the other part because he's high schoolers or middle schoolers, right? So every year we would do this, and all the time we would pray. We would pray. I find myself in college. Mrs. DeJanest, she wrote all of us. I'm getting emotional thinking about this. Years of praying, he finally accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It gets better because him and her run a Christian school. It starts with prayer. Praying for your one. If you don't have a one, God, bring a one. I guarantee you he will bring a one in your life. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Seen it happen so many times. If you pray for your one, I guarantee you there's going to be an opportunity where you're going to have an opportunity to just talk about spiritual things. Guaranteed. It starts with prayer. And so if you could put that slide back up of the training, if y'all will take out your phones. I just realized that Sean needs this, so. It'd be great if you do it right now. Go to that website, you do it right now. You go to that website, it'll bring you up, it'll bring you up all those options. If you, like, I don't want to do it right now, I want to find out what is on my schedule and all the other stuff, and yeah, whatever. Get trained. It'll be 2 hours. It'll be fun. It'll be food. It'll be awesome. And it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. I've done it. Some of you have already done it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. It is simple, but profound as well. And challenging. So whether you sign up right now or bookmark it on your phone, you do it a little bit later after lunch or after the donut time, or you talk with other people, we want to get you trained. We would all love to have everyone here trained, ready to have those spiritual conversations. And come next week. Come next week, as you see, we replaced our TVs with these high-def chalkboards. What this is all of you will have names. I'm praying. I've been praying. The staff is praying. Teams have been praying. You all will have a name. Some of you already have that name. Some of you already have those people. Some of you already have been having these spiritual conversations. We want to come. We're just going to write those names on the chalkboard. It's going to be an awesome service. I'm going to write my one up there. Some of y'all may have a one plus one. Some of you may not have a one yet. I believe if you pray this week, God's going to give you that person. Guaranteed. And maybe you come next week and you don't have that person. That's okay. That's okay. God's still going to give, he's going to give you that person. But we want to come next week. We're going to do something awesome in the service. It's going to be part of that service. It's going to be like an offering up to God, a sweet aroma to God. Say, God, we present these folks that we care for. But it starts with us praying. So would you bow? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this great example of Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. What an incredible combination. I thank you, Lord God, for everyone in this room. Thank you for their heart for you. I know there is half this room, maybe 75% of the room, and maybe 90% of this room, just like, oh no, I'm scared to death. You want me to talk to other people about Jesus? I know, I've been there. I get it. You are thinking right now, I don't have the skills or the capability or the know-how or the wisdom or whatever, and you're right. I can give you the discernment, but it starts with us praying and following his lead. So I pray, Lord God, for everyone in this room who already has a one or is still learning who their one is, the conversations that will happen, Lord God, the transformation that will happen not only in our lives but our friends' lives. So I thank you, Lord, in advance. How we use this time, how we use us, how we use this church to reach Frederick for Christ. In your precious name, amen.